The Coram Deo Church Community is a missional church rooted in historic, biblical Christianity and committed to cultural engagement. We hope the message you're about to hear spurs you to deeper reflection on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thanks for listening.
Our scripture reading this morning is Psalm chapter 66. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you. All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds toward the children of man. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There did we rejoice in him, who rules by his might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard, who has kept our soul among the living and has not let our feet slip. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. Yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance. I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will perform my vows to you, that which my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble. I will offer to you burnt offerings of fattened animals with the smoke of the sacrifice of rams. I will make an offering of bulls and goats. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly, God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. The word of God for the people of God.
Well, good morning, Coram Deo. Good to be with you this morning. My name is Sihle Tulu from South Africa, Johannesburg, and it's a joy for me to be here with you this morning. I bring greetings from our church, Renewal Fellowship. We're a church of 3 years, planted in 2021, and it's just been God's grace that we continue to go on as a church. But I do thank you that you have prayed for us. You have been generous in supporting us as a church, and humanly speaking, I do want to say if it wasn't for your generosity, I don't know where we would be as a church, but you have been good to us, you have loved us and been generous to us. So I'm really, really grateful for you and your leaders here and just the support and love that you have shown us. I think I do have my pictures of my family, just to introduce my family. This is my wife, Letabo, and our three kids. Shelo, the girl who's in the middle there, she's our six-year-old girl, and then our son, Umi, and then our little one there, Aza, who is 2 years old. It's been just a joy for them to let me be able to be here, and continue to pray for us, and that we'll continue to love and serve the Lord in Johannesburg. We're going to go straight into God's word in Psalm 66 as it's been read for us. But before we do that, let me pray for us and ask for God's help as we come into his word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is light. Thank you that your word brings life to us. We pray now as you open up your word that you may speak to us clearly. Give us much of your Holy Spirit to open up your word to us in our hearts. We pray that now, what we do not know, may you teach us. What we do not have, may you give us. What we are not, may you make us. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. 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 So it's a joy for me to join you in song, if I can put it that way, as you've been going through the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms is the song book of the church, or the prayer book of the church. The book of Psalms is a very formative book. It's been a formative book for the church for centuries. It gives us language for prayer. It gives us language for praise. It has all the emotions that we have as humanity, and it really gives us language to be able to bring those to the Lord. And today's Psalm, Psalm 66, is no different than that. It's a psalm of praise. It's a psalm that is going to give us language in terms of praising God. In fact, it's not just a psalm of praise, it's an invitation to praise and thanksgiving to God. It's an invitation, as we're going to see. I don't know if you've noticed, as they were reading the text, there are a few invitations. Come and see what God has done. And verse 16, come and hear what God has done for my soul. It's an invitation, firstly to the world, but also to people around us, to come and see, to come and hear the works of God among his people. It's an invitation. Now, talking about invitations, there's something beautiful and something affirming about invitations. My daughter, I just showed you here, she's 6 years old. She's at a stage of her life where she's having friends at school, and she's really liking her friends. She likes to spend time with them. And she likes to be invited to their birthday parties. So if they've got birthday parties and she's coming with an invite card from school, she just loves to show us that, hey, I need to clear out your Saturdays. Here's what's happening, basically. She just loves those invites. And when we show her that, maybe we've getting an invite somewhere else that she needs to come to, she just loves to be invited in those things. And sometimes, I mean, she gets excited about her invites in front of her younger brother who's not invited. And that really gets us into trouble. Interestingly enough, we actually don't grow out of loving invites ourselves, even as we grow up. We still like to be invited to places, especially at places we think we should be invited. It still hurts, even as adults, when we don't get invited to some places. We still like it when there's a sense of, you know, we are good enough to be invited to some things, or we are in the circle of those people who are good enough to be invited. There's a sense of still liking those invitations. Which is why God's invites to us, they can be very remarkable then. When God is the one who invites us to something, it's something that we need to pay attention to. Now, God's invitations are very different from sort of our invitations. It's not that we are good enough that God would invite us to life in him. In fact, God invites those who are not good enough. God invites those who are outside the circle, as it were. He invites us by his grace. And we see throughout the scriptures the invitations from God. Throughout the Bible, we see these invitations where God is inviting us to life with him. I think in Matthew 11, come all who are weary, and I will give you rest. An invitation from Christ himself. We see even here in our psalm, come and see what God has done. Inviting all the earth to come and see. In Isaiah, there's an invitation, come and buy without money. Come those who need God, come to his temple. You get these invitations from God. God invites us, even just the life in God. God is the one inviting us to the life in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Even prayer is an invitation from God. God invites us to pray, invites us to commune with him. God invites us to gather for worship. That's why we have a call to worship. God is the one who's inviting us together for worship. God invites us to a life that is marked with love and compassion and generosity that is different from what's out there. It's an invitation from God. Now, normally the enemy or even our own idolatry would love to turn or convince us that God's gracious invitations are inconveniences in our lives. That God's gracious invitations are burdens in our lives. But actually, no, they are gracious invitations from God. We're going to see even throughout the psalm, these invitations. We'll see from the psalm a global invitation, an invitation to all the earth. Come see God's work. Come see God's awesome deeds. Come all the earth, come and see and praise God. But we'll also see an invitation to come see God at work among his people. Come and see what God is doing among his people. And then lastly, we'll see an invitation to see God being at work in an individual's life. One person, an individual whose God is working in their lives. Now, let's look at the psalm. Firstly, a global invitation. Verse 1, shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you. All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name. This is an invitation to all the earth. You see in verse 1, the shout for joy, all the earth. Verse 4, all the earth worships you and sing praises to you. The nations here are invited. The nations here are invited to come participate in the praise of God. This is all the earth invitation going throughout all the earth to come and praise God who has done amazing deeds towards his people. Shout for joy. Join in praising God. Even as God's people are also praising God, all the earth, come in and join in this praise of God. Now, some of us, we might not know exactly what to do with psalms like this, psalms that are calling us to praise, psalms that say, shout for joy, psalms that say, you know, make a joyful noise. We're thinking, what do we do with that? Is that literal? Are we supposed to do that for literally? We sometimes struggle with that. Sometimes because of our personalities, we just think, okay, maybe I'm not that person who does that. But it's not just us that we have struggled with that. C.S. Lewis, in his book, Reflection of the Psalms, he talks about the struggle that he had at the beginning of his Christian life about the praise of God. He says that he saw the Psalms specifically talking a lot about praising God. Praising God this, let's all praise God. And he says that he struggled with the whole concept of the praise of God. If you know C.S. Lewis's books, he sort of speaks his mind and talks about all the things that he's thinking about. And he thought that this praise of God was a bit too much. It's as if God is vain and looking for compliments, he says. You know, it's just like something that he's thinking through. But he says that he came to understand that praise is not, God calling us to praise is not something different from what we normally do. Praise is actually part of our daily lives. We normally praise things. We normally praise people. We are always inviting people to praise things with us. In fact, I would think that the phenomenon of social media is all about that. We are inviting people to praise things with us. You know, you go somewhere, you get a picture, and you put it there. You are inviting everybody to come praise with you. It's something that we are doing on a daily basis. And he says, actually, that is, God was not calling me to something different. But he also realized that when God is calling us to praise, when we are praising God, praise is one of the channels, is one of the means where God gives us his grace. It's one of the channels, one of the ways where God is giving grace towards his people. In the process of praising God, God communicates his presence with us, communicates his grace with us. In fact, when we are praising God, we are the one receiving. We are the one receiving grace. We are the one being formed by God. And he says it changed everything for him. Understanding that this is something that we normally do, but actually we are the one, when we are praising God, God is the one at work in our lives to give us grace. And to praise God is actually to take everything about God. to take his attributes, who he is, to take everything about his works, everything about his deeds, and we want to take all of these things and drill them in our hearts, meditate on them, verbalize them, until our entire being is captured or captivated by the beauty of God. That's what praise is about. Even when we sing praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of all creation, that all my soul praise him, for he is thy health and salvation. And then we invite, come all who hear, now to his temple draw near. Join me in glad adoration. That's what we are singing. We are praising, but yet we are inviting us. We are inviting others to come and meditate, ponder anew what the Almighty can do. Inviting others to praise and magnify God with us. We are gazing at who he is and what he has done until our hearts are captured by his beauty. When I was young, still in, I think in high school or younger than sort of primary school, we would love to play with those magnifying glass where you sort of put it against or put it, you know, with the sun and it sort of shines and you've got this beam that will come under it that is hot, and we would love to just burn stuff with that beam. Now if you think about what's happening there, this actually, you are taking this magnifying glass, you are holding it up, you are harnessing the great power of the sun, the beams of the sun, you are harnessing it and you're putting it to the beam, and then it sort of goes straight to one thing. You are focusing it on one single point until that point catches fire. Now, what is happening in praise? It's almost similar. Praise, we are holding almost the glory of God with our praise. As we praise, our praise is almost like the magnifying glass where we are harnessing the glory, the majesty, the beauty of God, and we are focusing it straight into our hearts until our hearts burns with fire, until our hearts burns with the beauty of God, the praise. And this is what we've been invited to. This is what God invites the whole earth to. Come, all who hear. All the earth bow down. All the earth praise the Lord. Come praise God. Come see what he has done. Shout for joy, all the earth. God is inviting all the nations to praise him. It's a global invitation. But also, it's not just a global invitation. We see an invitation to see God at work throughout his people, among his people. It's an invitation to see God at work among his formed people, a formed people of God. And I like to think of this section. Think of it, there's a choir that is singing out, and there are people that we are inviting, come and praise God with us. And I imagine this next section, someone coming out from the crowd, a heckler or something like that, who says, why should we praise God? What has he done? What's the big deal? Why should we praise God? And I would think, even this morning, there could be someone, you're not a Christian here this morning. Someone invited you, you've come with someone, maybe you are new to the church, and you're wondering the same thing. What's the big deal? Why must we praise? Why are these people praising? Why are we here? Now, you're not a heckler. I'm sort of, the metaphor there doesn't apply. But it's a question. It's a good question. Why must we praise? And the psalmist here answers that. Look at verse 5. Come and see what God has done. He's awesome in his deeds towards the children of man. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There did we rejoice in him. Now, the psalmist here does something interesting. He's inviting, come and see what God has done. You want to know, why do we need to praise God? You want to know what's the big deal about praising God? This is what he has done. And the psalmist here, he could have chosen anything to talk about what the deeds of God. You could point out to creation, the stars and the skies and the seas, the beauty of creation, what God has done. Look around us, the beauty of what God has created. I come from South Africa. We have Table Mountain in Cape Town. You could look around and say, look at the beauty of what God has created. But the psalmist points into something specific to talk about why do we need to praise God? Why is God great and need to be praised? He says, he turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. Now here, the psalmist is recalling the Exodus story. He's taking us back in Exodus. He recalls what God has done for his people as he has rescued them. Out of everything that the psalmist could have brought in, he recalls the great Exodus. And he's making the allusion there, even of the great of them crossing the River Jordan. But he's pointing back to this is what God has done. God is great. He's worthy to be praised because he's the God who rescues. He's the God who rescues. You want to know why and how mighty and glorious God is? Why we should join in praise? Look at how he rescues his people. This actually should get us thinking on how we measure power of God, how we measure the power and the power of God. What comes to our mind when we think about the power of God, the power of God is mostly seen in how God rescues. God rescues people. This is where Israel went whenever they think of the mighty deeds of God. Whenever they think of the power of God, whenever they think of the history of how God is, what God has done, they went to the Exodus story. Now, again, you might be here, you're not familiar with that, the Exodus story. There was a time in the story of the people of God, Israel, where they were under the tyranny of Pharaoh in Egypt, and there was no way out for them there. They were under the sentence of death, as it were. They were under the slavery of Pharaoh, but God, through his mighty power, rescued them. He took them out of Egypt through splitting the Red Sea so that they could cross over. Now, this is the story that became the main story for the people of God, Israel. It became the foundational story of Israel history and narrative. Whenever they spoke about God's work, they spoke about the Exodus story. It's throughout the Psalms. If you read the Psalms, they will bring out again and again, when they talk about shouting for joy and praising God, they will recall the Exodus story. Whenever they gather together to praise God, they recall God rescued us. They taught their children about this story. They taught their children to teach their children about this Exodus story. It became the formative story for them. It became the story that defines them. It became their identity, foundational event. God rescued us. You want to know anything about us as the people of God? We are the people who've been redeemed. We are the people who've been rescued by God. It became their narrative, their story, whenever they spoke about the testimony of God, their whole lives. We're bound up in this story. The whole lives are bound up in this story. Now, the story of the scriptures, the whole of the Bible, you will read throughout, you will see that there are shadows and types. You read the Old Testament, there are things that are pointing us to a greater substance. And even this Exodus story was a story of the shadow of the greater Exodus that's what is to come. That there will be a time where the people of God will experience a greater exodus. That even this story points to our story, points to our exodus story. That we also, as the people of God, are people who have been rescued. We have experienced a greater exodus through the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The book of Hebrews calls the Lord Jesus the greater Moses. He's the one who rescues his people as well through his greater exodus of his death and resurrection. That we were also under the tyranny of sin and slavery of sin. We were also rescued. We also saw the salvation of the Lord. The Lord rescued us from death to life. He has crossed us over. And now also that story, the gospel story, is now our story. Now the question is, do we treat that story like the Israel treated that story? Is that story foundational in our lives? Or is this just something we hear when we come on Sunday? The gospel, we hear the gospel mentioned here and there. The gospel is not meant just to be the teachings we know about. It is meant to be a narrative, a story that defines who we are. The psalmist is saying, yeah, come and see what God has done among his people. He's the God who rescues. This is what it means to be people of God, people who are rescued, people who have been redeemed by God. It's the story that changed everything for us. It's the story that defines us as the people of God. The story that renews us. It's not just the entry story, but it's the story of the whole being of what it means to be Christian. The gospel story. It defines us as people of God. It touches all the areas of our lives. It touches how we see things, even things that happen to us. Even suffering, when suffering happens to us. This is what the psalmist does. He's talking about praising God for he has rescued them, but he even says praise God for that God, he refines us even throughout the things that we don't like. Look with me in verse 8. Bless our God, O peoples, let the sound of his praise be heard, who has kept our soul among the living and has not let our feet slip. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us out into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance. You have not just rescued us. You have been with us even in trying times. You've been with us even in testing times. You've been with us even when we felt like there were burdens on our back, when we are going through fire, as it were. You are the God who deserves all the praise. Again, the gospel should make us understand suffering in that way. That for us, suffering is not something that is wasted. For us, suffering is something that God is even using to refine us, using to renew us. The Christian experience, growth in God, include refining even through suffering. It's not something that we are ashamed of. So when we are inviting people in, we're saying, come and see God who rescues us even through our suffering. Even through when we go testing times. We are not exempt from suffering. We're not exempt from fire and trials. And maybe there are here this morning who are going through some of those things. Some of us here this morning who are going through refining, testing, crushing burdens, maybe a tough marriage, maybe tough situation at work, looking for work, fighting an illness, alone, heartbroken, going through what feels like a burden on your back. And here's the truth of the gospel. That the good things that happen in our lives, good things that we enjoy, are under God's sovereign care, but also the hard things that we have to endure are still under God's sovereign care. He's sovereign over all things. Our suffering are not outside God's redeeming hand. It's part of God's refining us as his people. And when we're inviting people in, we don't invite them to the good parts of our lives. We're inviting them to what God is doing throughout our lives, the good and the bad. Come and see what God is doing, even through the testing times. Come and see what God is doing among his people. And what's great about this, as we look up into that, the testing, being tried like silver, is that that is not something that our Savior was exempt on as well. He also went through suffering. He's a suffering servant. He can sing the psalm with us, the Lord Jesus. He can also sing that he's been tried as silver is tried. That he's had a crushing burden on his back as well. That he's gone through fire and through waters. In fact, he's gone through more than that. The burden on his back was more than we could bear. He's gone through something much than we can go through. He went through for us as our pioneer. He's gone through the cross. He's gone through the wrath of God on his back. He's gone through fire for us. But also, he's not just gone through that. As it says here, that you have brought us out of that place to a place of abundance. He did not just experience suffering. God brought him out through the resurrection. And because of the resurrection, when we go through suffering, we have hope. The resurrection gives us hope to what God has done. And God is inviting us and inviting those around us, come and see God at work among his people. He has rescued them. He walks with them through suffering. He brings them out. And for some of us, we might think, I'm not out yet. I'm not there yet. The beauty of the gospel is we know the ending. That at the end of the day, death is defeated. We will eventually come out to the place of abundance. We will eventually come out to the place of shalom. He brings his people out. Come and see what God has done among his people. Now, another thing about what God is doing among his people, or what God should be doing among his people, that we can invite people in, we should have hope that God is doing something among us. That even as a church, even as a community of faith, we are looking at the small graces of what God is doing among us. Sometimes we are expecting of something that is big that we should testify of. God is always doing smaller graces among his people. That in a city, in a place, I mean, I don't know much about Omaha, but I know people are people, that we could say that in the city filled with greed and exploitation, come and see people filled with generosity and honor among one another. In a city filled with fear and indifference, come and see people filled with faith and compassion. In a city filled with hate and division, come and see people filled with love and unity. That's what God should be working among us. And we can invite others in, come and see what God is doing among his people. It's an invitation. But it's not just an invitation to all the earth. It's not just an invitation for God to come and see what he's doing among his people. The psalm actually goes to an individual. Come and see what God is doing to someone's life. Look at me in verse 13. It changes the pronouns. The pronouns move from all the earth to from we as the people of God to I in verse 13. I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will perform my vows to you that which my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble. I will offer to you burnt offerings of fattened animals with the smoke of the sacrifice of rams. I will make an offering of bulls and goats. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell what he has done for my soul. The psalm becomes personal. Come and see what God has done for me. Come and see what God has done for my soul. I have offered offerings and fattened animals. I have given sacrifices to thank God, bulls and goats, to thank God for what he has done for me. Come and hear. When I cried out to him, he answered my prayer. When my heart had iniquity, he forgave me and he listened to me. He did not withhold his steadfast love towards me. Come and see, come and hear what God has done for me. It's almost when that choir was singing, we get a solo. Someone coming out to sing a solo. Come and see what God has done for me. Now the question for us this morning, are we able to come out of the crowd and sing a solo? Come and see what God has done for me. Can you look and testify that God has rescued you? That God has done amazing deeds for you? That you can invite others to come and see what God has done for you? There's a sermon a long time ago by Martin Luther, one of the reformers. He preached a sermon on faith, and he spoke about two types of faith. He called these two types of faith Christus pro nobis, which is, this is Latin. I'm thinking nobody sort of knows this, but this is Coram Deo. You already have Latin there. So you should understand this. Christus pro nobis, Christ for us. There's a certain sense that we have faith that Christ saves us, loves us. But there's also Christus pro me, Christ for me. That Christ has saved and loved me. He said in that sermon, of what help is to you that God is God for us if he is not God for me? Is God God for you? Can you say to your friends and family, your colleagues, those around you, come and see what God has done for my soul? That's the invitation. That's the invitation. Have you made this story your story? And he says here, in the last verse, verse 20, blessed be to God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. He has not removed his chesed, that's the word there, the steadfast love, the covenant love, the loyal love. He has kept on loving me. This is the love that will not let us go. This is the love that is displayed in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God, he has not removed his covenant love for me. The love that binds me with him. The love that unites me with him. He has loved me with an everlasting love. Come and hear. Come and see the love that will never let me go. The love shown and displayed in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. What manner of love is this? That he is the one, ruler of the earth, who will lay down his life for his friends. Come and see what he has done for me. This is the story. This is my song. For all of us across the world. I'm from South Africa with the same song as you. Come and see what God has done for me. Can you sing that solo this morning? Is that your story? That the ruler of the heavens, the darling of heaven, has come down to live a life that you should have lived, perfectly obedient to God. And he has taken that obedience and credited to your account. Now God looks at you righteous before him, that the death that you deserved, he has died the death for you. The death of death and the death of Christ is now given to you. But not just that he died, he resurrected from death into the newness of life. He now is the new creation, and he brings all of us who are in faith in him into this new creation. And he invites us into this life, the resurrected life. That is my story. That is our story as the people of God. That's the invitation we are brought into. Come and hear. Come and see what God has done for me. And if this is our story, we become a community that we can invite others in. Come and see what God has done among his people. He has rescued us. Even through our suffering, he has rescued us. But all the earth, come and praise God with us. That's the psalm. All the earth, come praise God with us. He has formed us as his people, but not just as his people. This is Christ for me. Come and praise God with me. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that your word brings renewal in our lives, that the word is filled with power. We pray now, Holy Spirit, that it would be at work in our lives to bring these words into our hearts. May you burn them in our hearts. May you captivate us with your beauty. May the story of the gospel be the story of our lives as the people of God. May we know the story individually, but also may we store this. May we know the story as a community. Lord, I thank you for your people here at Coram Deo. Thank you for them. Thank you that you have brought them. You have drawn them to yourself. I pray them that, Lord, you may continue to strengthen them as a church. Continue to unite them with the bonds of love. Pray that the gospel will continue to be the center of their lives and the center of their community. Lord, we love you. We long to love you more. So strengthen us. Be with us, we pray. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.